Christmas, Thanksgiving, different times of the year that, you know, they should be with their family, that they were taking time out to come and serve and to better people too by just showing their love.
What was your favorite course that you took during that time? What was one of the courses that spoke to you the most?
Oh, I can't remember the name of the one. I want to say it was Freedom from Addiction.
Freedom from Addiction, yeah. And I thought for sure it was going to be the one that Doc spoke on, you know, the experience he got, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, so you get to the point where finally you're at graduation day, and it's your time to graduate in 2013. Talk about that day and what it felt like for you.
Well, first, so when I was talking about the volunteers, I worked at a pharmacy back in the 90s. And one day I came down the ramp to go to dinner, and actually it happened twice. And I saw a lady that I used to work with. And so I run back up, and I didn't want her to see me because I was ashamed. And her church came again, and I did the same thing. Well, the third time, I finally went on down and ate dinner.
So you ran away, didn't even eat dinner those times?
No, I ran away.
You didn't want them to see you?
I didn't want to. I was too ashamed. Wow. Her name was Tish.
Tish.
And the third time, I came on down the ramp, and I ate dinner. And she hugged me, and she told me the reason her church had started coming around that time, and she had started coming, was because they saw me in a Mission Moments.
Wow. Which is our newsletter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's our newsletter. So yeah. Graduation time come around, and she took me to get a nice dress and shoes and stuff.
So she came here to volunteer just to see you because she saw you in one of our newsletters. Yeah. And what you did is you ran the other way so she could see you. That's funny.
Because I was embarrassed, yeah.
Christy, that sounds so much like you. Yeah. I know you so well that it's... So. Christy doesn't want to be embarrassed, so she runs away.
Yeah, I turn red sometimes.
Well, in fact, I know today, because I've interviewed you before for some other things, that I know Christy sits here today very nervous, and you know, but your testimony is such an awe-inspiring thing. I want people to hear how lives are changed, and you've been one that's been very successful. And so you get to graduation day, and you get that diploma. Had you, what were some of the things, one of the things that we do here is we don't, at the mission, when you're going through the program, you don't really have a outside job, but you do things while you're here. Mm-hmm. Is that when you started working with the thrift stores?
After I graduated.
After you graduated.
And I started working October 7th, 2013.
Okay.
I started working.
And you were at which store?
Madison.
In Madison. Mm-hmm. Okay. And talk about that. You know, so you're transitioning, and were you still staying at the mission when you worked at and how long did you stay at the mission after graduation?
I think it was 2000 and maybe December of 2014.
So about a year
after.
And so you start, we have 7 thrift stores. I think we had maybe 8 at the time. No, maybe we had 7 too.
Yeah. Yes, 7, because we hadn't opened Winchester yet, and West would have made the 7 at the time, so yeah.
So you were working at one of our thrift stores, which is in Madison, what position did you start at?
Tagger Hanger.
Tagger Hanger, which is one of the people that's in the back in production, right? And so talk about your journey from graduation to really where you are now. Talk about that story a little bit.
Well, I started working at the thrift store. I applied everywhere else first because I had worked at vet's offices before.
You had some successful jobs in the past, yeah.
I worked, was a manager at the Downtown Rescue Mission, not Downtown Rescue Mission, Humane Society for 4 or 5 years and had worked there for a long time. And I worked at SportsMed, I worked different places.
Yeah. So you get the job at the thrift store and you start working your way up. How long were you a tagger in the back?
Maybe about 4 months.
What do we call that job now?
Clothing processor.
Yeah, so we don't even call it that anymore.
Not anymore, no.
Yeah, once you had that job, we got rid of that title. No, I'm
after
kidding.
After a little while later,
yeah. So you start doing that, and then what was the next position that you had?
Brand specialist is what it's called now. I was working with Robin Maddox and Ron Dabbs.
Oh, wow.
So Robin is from Eva 2.
Yep.
And I knew her sister, but she took a lot of time. And even when I started, And she loved on me. She trained me if I had questions or wanted to do a different position. She worked with me on learning those because I was eager to learn.
And a hard worker. You are, even back when you were taking drugs, you were a hard worker. When we heard your story, you know, you had talked about these jobs you had. And even while you were taking drugs, you were still working hard. Mm-hmm. I mean, that wasn't a thing. It just, the drugs kind of overtook the situation.
After a while, you can't maintain it.
So you get to the point where you've been promoted a few times. And tell us what you do now.
I'm regional director.
So you've worked your way from the back in production all the way through even to manager of a store. And now you're over managers of stores because you're one of the regional. Which stores are you over right now?
Madison, Decatur, Athens.
And the warehouse, right?
Yeah, in the warehouse, yeah.
Yeah. And so here's somebody that came to the mission that was really strung out on drugs, on meth at the time. And you've worked your way really to being one of the senior people in the mission with being a regional manager. But there's only one person that changed your life. It really wasn't the mission. The mission was here.
It wasn't the mission. It wasn't me. It was God.
Yeah.
So.
And did you accept Jesus when you were here, or had you already known
him? I did again.
Yeah.
The first time I was probably maybe 12, 13.
Yeah, and he's your savior, and but really for us, our if somebody truly is successful in the program, it's that they've changed their life by changing it with Jesus Christ and really following God and all that they do, because that you no longer need the drugs anymore because now you can rely on our Lord and Savior, right?
The once I got here and got settled in, it was. I even got picked up one time because I was the van driver. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
I was the van driver, and a car kind of got over me, and a little bit of white paint got on their car, but I didn't know I had a warrant. And we had been sending the paperwork in. Miss Patty had, but there was something that had changed, so they picked me up on it, and I had to go to ARAB and Miss Lisa, and I don't know if it was Kevin Marsh at the time, but I was like, okay. I knew I hadn't done anything wrong. I knew. Yeah. For the first time, I knew that I wasn't guilty of something that I had done because I was taking care of it. It just paperwork was wrong. And when I left there, everybody had all these things that they were going to, they weren't going to do it anymore. They were going to go home to their kids. All these promises they were making because they were in jail. And as soon as they saw the judge that morning, I was there like 4 days. They had people picking them up that they shouldn't have picking them up, and they were right back in to what they were in.
Yeah.
I called my mother, and I waited on the steps for my mom to come get me
because
I wanted to come home. And home was here at the time. And that's when I knew I was done.
Yeah.
Completely done. Didn't want anything else to do with it. I was completely done.
Yeah, and so home at that point was...
Home was here,
here.
Oh, yeah.
What would you know what part of the program you were in? How far you were in at that point?
It would have been November of 2012.
So you were about halfway through the program at that point?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you had started in July. So you've been through the first part of the program at that point, yeah. Well, your mom picking you up and you talking about going home and it not being with...
Yeah, this was home to me. This was where change was happening. It was where I felt loved. It was where I had friends. You know, you hear a lot of people say, you don't make friends at places like that. People aren't your friends.
Yeah.
I'm not here to make friends. Well, I wasn't here to make friends either, but God had different plans for me. So
you still have friends from the people that you went through the program with? Yeah. Do you remember any of the people that were in their program?
Oh, yeah. I've got Delora.
Yeah.
There's Bruce, Debbie. There's different ones throughout, yeah.
And some of them are still with us, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, which is amazing.
Working with us, yeah.
So since 2012 or 13, and they're still with us, which is really awesome. And they've all changed their lives, too, which is amazing to see. So your district manager, regional manager, Mike always gets on me that because I say it wrong, but your regional manager, and what is your goals for the future? What do you want to do?
I still want to buy a house somehow. Yeah.
Well, you'll be able to do it.
I don't know. Not in this market.
Yeah.
Interest rates and all kinds of stuff. So Maybe one day.
Yeah.
It's a small little house that's mine.
So in your regional director job, and I know in your other jobs too, you were like this, but how do you help others that maybe were where you were?
I try to show them change. I try to understand where they came from. Like we had people that graduated last night that were just nervous. A lot of times people get close to graduating. And sometimes they self-sabotage themselves because they don't think they can do it, or they're not, it's not really part of God's plan for them to graduate and be successful. And there's the fear, all different kinds of fear that comes along with it, you know.
Yeah.
And just encouraging them. And I know that at some point when I was in the program, you know, I worked with, I said, Robin poured into me, Amy Hunter, Amy Kelly.
And now you and Amy are coworkers. I mean, she's a regional manager as well.
Yeah. So just throughout the years, Mike had a lot of people pour into me, and so I want to do that to others. And I see both sides, so I know what we do. I know what the thrift stores fund, and it gives people the opportunity to come into a place and not have their families to be in debt. To a rehab, like $3,000. I just called a couple of weeks ago for someone to try to get them in. And without insurance, it was $3,000.
Yeah, and it's how much did it cost to come here?
It didn't cost anything.
It's free.
It cost just surrendering to God.
Yeah. So the big thing is our stores are about 60% or 65% of how the mission runs. And talk about that a little bit, you know, and I know you love the thrift stores and the model, but talk about, you know, we've got 7 stores, maybe 8 soon. And, how does that work? People donate stuff, and how does it work that at the end, the money comes back here to help the mission?
Yeah, it starts with our donors. If we don't have our donors, that donate the things to us to be able
like clothes to, and housewares,
electronics, even time. We've had donors come through the stores that have donated, and just different things. So, and that's what it takes for us to be able to run the stores and make changes.
So people donate their items, and a lot of times it's things that they might throw out anyway, or we're going to, you know, just, you know, let go or whatever because their closets are too full, or they have too many pots and pans or whatever it might be. Yeah. They give them to us, and we're really green, aren't we? Because what happens is those items that might have ended up in the dump, we put out on hangers, and they're nice clothes. Mm-hmm. They weren't bad. They just, people were done. And and so we take those items, and we sell them, and that net profit comes back here 100% to the mission.
It does.
Yeah. Yep. And it allows people like Christy, in 2012, not had to pay a fee to come into the program.
That's it, and put their families in a bond, and
So I know it's got to be a blessing for you being able to give back somewhat through the stores, because you know what the stores do to help with people that are in the program.
And I know there was somebody that worked just as hard as I did and put in the time and, to make it happen for me. So that's how, if I have a rough day, that's how I get through. You know, if I'm stressed, I just pick somebody wherever I'm working at, whether it's the warehouse or in a store, somebody I've seen in the hallway, and I know that it's making change for them.
So what does your family think now of Christy compared to back in 2012? I know they still loved you, but they were saying, hey, can't be here and do that. Yeah. So how do they feel about you now?
Well, my mom, I apologize still to her a lot for not being there. And for that time, and she just tells me, that's not who you are anymore.
Yeah.
So.
And you and your mom are very close.
She's my best friend.
What about your aunt that suggested coming here?
I see her sometimes.
Yeah. Was she proud of you when you were going through the program and stuff? I bet you she's happy she recommended that, right?
And it worked.
It's a good thing you knew Kara, right? You know.
Yeah. And Kara, so I got in the program, and it wouldn't, I guess, a month, maybe, even if that long. Miss Kara went to TVO.
Over in Decatur. Yeah.
She says God moved her out for something she had, but I believe God moved her out. Not that she moved out, but she had different things that she did for a little bit. But I also think it was for me, because I don't know how open I would have been with things or, yeah.
And then Kara came back and still works here today.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. So it's, you know, it's kind of like those old mom movies, you know, they say once you're in, you never get out. That's kind of how it happens here at the mission. You know, once we get you, you can never get out. Nah, we're not the mob. Sorry. But anyhow, so tell us a little bit about, you know, what your daily work is. You know, you talked about district manager. What do you do on a daily? You're managing people now. You manage managers, really.
Yeah. So it just depends on what location needs what, where we're down staff, you know, there's reports, there's finding out where we are with sales and Prosper Peace and where donations we need to kind of get more in at, just stuff like that. And working with other program people.
Yeah.
Because, see, I know the ladies couldn't go to the thrift store for a little while. So back when I started going, I think I was... After there was a time frame they didn't go, that I was the first lady to start back working in them.
Yeah.
And just to be able to work and enjoy it. And, you know, I, even as a tagger hanger, I was scared because I hadn't worked in a long time. I'd been driving a van, you know, for over a year here. And it was just nervous being out and being around people and stuff like that. So I know that being in the stores, you know, we do have people that have graduated and worked with us, that's what they feel sometimes too. And just trying to encourage them and love on them and see where they're at with what their goals and.
Sure. Yeah. So you've been, after you went through the program, you've been an employee here how many years now?
In October, it'd be 11.
11 years you've been here. So we love having you here too. Tell us, or tell the folks out there, maybe one or two stories of people that you've seen have hope or find hope that came through the mission. You don't have to say their names, but just talk a little bit about maybe one or two people that you, it's just been like, wow, I can't believe the change in this person.
Oh, goodness.
And I know you've seen a lot.
There's been a lot. There's been a lot. And that's what keeps me going, too, is that you do see change. There was one girl that for, I know, 2 years, that every time I saw her, I would talk to her. And then I would pray, you know, as she was going by and she walked off because she couldn't even really carry a conversation. And I got to the back one day over on women's side. It was going through there, and she... was in the program, and she never remembered any of the times that, you know, I would stand there and pray or that I would even say hi to her, and that melted in my heart, and prayer works. It may not work the way we see it sometimes, but she completely changed. It knocked my socks off. And there was a one that graduated last night, too, that was a little bit of the same that... I would see her overnights, and
When you think back to that time when you saw the graduation before you were in the program, but now that you get to experience it after all these years, because you go to all the graduations, what's it make you feel like when you see the folks? Like last night, you said one of the people just was like, man, it touched my heart.
It makes me feel good. It makes me happy to see that they have changed. You know, people struggle with different things, and everybody's breaking point's different. So what may break me or what brought me here is not what brought somebody else here.
Yeah.
But the one thing that's common in this is what Christ is doing in us to make the changes. So, but yeah, it's nice. The graduations are nice. There's times I've sat and squalled the whole time.
Yep.
And
try being up in front like I am. I cry up there myself. I mean, and John laughs at me the whole time. So,
nah. But yeah, so it's been a blessing to be able, and you see different people throughout the years.
Yeah.
You know, there's been some that you graduate with or that have graduations and different things in their life happens. And, we've had people that passed away. We've had people who, different things that have happened. And it's sad too.
Yeah. Well, last night there were some folks that are just starting the program, and I was thinking about how when you first came and you saw that. I wonder how they feel, if it's the same feeling you had, like, man, this is something I can grab onto. This gives me hope. I can change my life because, man, I see those people up on stage and they're getting their certificate and they're graduating and you hear their testimony and it's mm-hmm. like, holy cow. And it brings tears to my eyes still. I've been doing this for 30 something years and it still brings tears to my eyes. And so, listen, I appreciate all you do here. And one of the things I was going to say too, you know, I work with you all the time. And in fact, you know, on Friday, we're going to have a good customer appreciation. And I'm sure you're going to be next to me doing hamburgers or something with me. And,
oh, yeah.
And but, you know, here's the thing for me with these stories is it's hard because you've been around me so long. Most of the times I forget you've even been in the program. You know, because I know Christy as our regional manager. I don't think of Christy as, hey, that's that little girl that came into our program who was really desperate and had, you know, a drug problem.
Full of anger.
Yeah. You know, and that red hair had a lot of anger behind it. That's for sure.
I was full of anger. Yeah. And that's how I dealt with and even protected myself all those years, too, was being.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you're going in your 12th year now with the mission mm-hmm. and. You know, amazing to see what God can do in a life. And it's so much of a transformation. Like I said, I'll walk down the hallways and we have other folks who've been through the program and I forget they weren't even in the program because you're a different person now.
It's a change.
Than you were in 2011, 2012, you know. And not just because of the years you've been here, but really how Christ changed your life. And, boy, you know, I'm so glad that this was a place you're able to come because not that some of these other places don't help people that, you know, but really we find here that having that extra part of, yes, we do freedom from addiction and some of those courses, mm-hmm. but it's really that we're sharing Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And he's the whole, he's that thing that fills the hole in the heart that a lot of times people try to fill with drugs or with alcohol. And that's what's amazing to me is seeing. It's not what we do. It's really how Christ changed somebody's mm-hmm. life. And that's what's awesome because that's what we see in you.
Thank you. Yeah. And it's whether it's overnights, programs, as someone who comes in and gets a food bag, it may be a Bible verse that they hear when they're having their dinner. It could be a class. It could be a church service, a song at Miss Millie's that triggers them. To want to be different too.
Yeah.
And they may take it and pass it on, whether they stay and something changes in them. It may be something that they take to somebody else, you know, whether it's a homeless camp or. So I do believe in all that.
If you could go back from you now to Christy when you were younger, what advice would you give Christy back at 20 years old when you first started taking some of the drugs?
Oh, goodness. Probably that God's real, because I didn't believe he was real either. You know, I thought he was something like a cartoon character or Superman waiting on him to come in and save the day. And, you know, you hear children are innocent. They don't suffer. There's things, but that's not true. Things happen.
Yeah. And so if you were to tell somebody out there today who maybe is in that same position that Christy was, you know, 12, 13 years ago, what advice would you have to them? What would you say to them? If somebody's hearing this today, would you to say, hey, get into something that's a Christian-based program? Or what are things you might say?
That there's hope and that people do love you and care about you even if they don't know you. And that not everybody's going to judge you. Everybody, addiction touches every family in different ways. It's shopping addictions, pornography, it's eating, it's drugs. There's all different kinds of addiction that touches families. And if we would look at people differently, because they are somebody's daughter, mother, husband, you know, child, if we looked at them differently, and gave them a chance and did things different, even in our communities, to give people hope.
Yeah. The old saying goes, you don't love the sin, but you love the sinner, right? And we're all sinners. So if I'm looking in the mirror and go, well, listen, I'm so much better than somebody else, we're really telling ourselves a lie, because at the end of the day, we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that's the thing that I really try to make sure that we have here with all the staff that we hire, is that they're called to help people, because Jesus Christ is the way. And really, we don't want somebody that comes in here, sees themselves like they're haughty or, you know, better than somebody else. And that's why I love your heart, because no matter, you've raised up to a pretty high position now, you still treat everybody fair, and you treat everybody with kindness, and you treat everybody that, hey, there's hope at the end of the day.
And there he is.
Yeah. Well, listen, this has been a podcast with Christy, who really has had a life transformation, and she is a story of hope. And like I said, I don't even see her when I walk down the hallways as a person who was one of our guests that was in our program. She is a coworker and a teammate with me here at the Mission, and we love Christy very much, and we thank you for giving your testimony today and talking about Be a Story of Hope. This, again, is Stories of Hope from the Downtown Rescue Mission. We're located in Huntsville, Alabama. And if you're somebody out there that needs a place to find hope, come and find us, because we'd love to share. And again, like Christy said, we have a free program that you are, if you're a woman or a man or a mom with kids, you can be in our program. So come on down and be a part of what we have here, and we can definitely share Jesus Christ with you and help you with the addictions or the alcohol or whatever other problems you might have. Like Christy said, it's not just drugs and alcohol, but there's a bunch of different addictions people have and things that we go down. But again, this has been Stories of Hope, and thank you for joining us today.